Chapter 14. Ramon surprised himself by going back to sleep, and was even more surprised in the morning when he woke up and actually found himself leaning against Manek, who had sat stoically, unmoving, throughout the rest of the night. Before then, though, three times before the sun rose, Ramon was assaulted in his dreams by memories. One was a card game he'd played on the Enya ship during his flight out away from Earth. Palenque had been having a good day. There were fewer and fewer of those, and had insisted that his crew come together and play poker. Ramon felt the strangely soft, limp cards in his hands again. He smelled the high, acidic reek of the Enya's huge bodies and the ever-present undertone of overheated ceramic, like a pan left empty in a heated stove. He'd beaten Palenque's full house with a straight flush. He remembered seeing the sick man's delight falter and fail when the cards came down, disappointment filling the old prospector's eyes like dried tears. Ramon regretted that he hadn't folded without showing. That was the only memory that seemed related to his strange interaction with the alien's mind. The other two were mundane moments. First, bathing in a hotel in Mexico City before going off to a brothel. And second, a meal of river fish encrusted in black pepper he'd eaten shortly after his arrival on Sao Paulo. In each case, the memory was so vivid that it was as if he had momentarily stopped living in the present and begun to live again in the past, as if he was actually there rather than here, sitting on his butt on the grass in the middle of a chilly night next to an alien monstrosity. Each time he woke for a second to see Manek sitting next to him, as still as a statue, and he got the impression that it knew what was happening to him, but it offered no advice on how best to accommodate this intrusive blooming of the past. Ramon didn't ask. It was his mind coming back to the way it should be, and that was all. Still, he wondered how many years it had been since the other Ramon had thought of that card game. The Day Martins were singing their low, throbbing song as the eastern sky lightened from star-filled blackness to a dimmer charcoal, and then at last to the cool light of morning. Something squawked and fled when Ramon rose to go for water. Whatever it was, it had snuck in and gnawed silently on the corpse of the Jabalí Rojo in the night. Tenfin birds and whirligigs flew through the trees, shouting at one another and fighting over places for their nests, food, mates to bear their children. The same petty struggles of all life, everywhere. Larger beasts, hoppers and fatheads, came to the stream's edge, glanced incuriously at him, and drank from the water. Fish leaped and fell back. He felt himself relax as he watched it all, able to forget for a moment what he was, what his forced mission was, and how bleak were his hopes. Then back to camp, to eat more sug beetles, make the usual review of his biological functions for the alien, and prepare himself for the hunt. Manek's skin was still ashy, but the oil swirls were beginning to reappear. Its stance remained low to the ground, its movements careful and pained. Ramon wished he knew enough to judge how serious the alien's injuries were. If it was just going to keel over at some point, there was no need to make elaborate plans to escape. On the other hand, suppose he found he couldn't free himself from the Sahel after Manek was dead. How horrible to be shackled to the alien's rotting corpse until he starved to death himself. Or perhaps if Manek died, he would die. They shared physical impulses through the Sahel, after all. He'd never thought of that before, and it was unsettling. Still, given the opportunity, he'd take his chances. When it had grown light enough, Ramon and Manek rose without consulting each other, and set off again, moving downstream. The other Ramon's path tracked toward the north, though Fiddler's Jump was far to the south. Perhaps he had hoped to throw off the pursuit by taking the less likely route. Or perhaps he expected to find better wood for a raft there. Or perhaps there was some other reason that Ramon had not yet fathomed. They walked in silence, only the crackling of old leaves and needles under their feet to compete with the whooping calls of anarañada, the scolding of flat furs, the chittering chorus of vinegar crickets. It was mid-morning before they came to a game path running through the trees. The soft, fibrous spoor of the kiki told Ramon that the antelope-like beast had been by within the last day, and likely the last few hours. These would have been good hunting grounds, he thought, and felt a stir of unease, the source of which he couldn't quite identify. Ramon guessed that they would reach the river itself before nightfall. The other Ramon was bound to be close. He guessed that it would have taken him 3 days to make a decent raft if he had the right tools, axe, wood, rope, and all his fingers, of course. The other Ramon was going to be working at a disadvantage. But the smart thing would be to slap together something third-rate, a raft barely strong enough to float, and use it to flee farther downriver. Once he had more distance, the man could afford to spend the time to make something sturdy. It would be a balancing act, speed against the danger of trusting himself to something so flimsy that it could come apart in the water. Ramon walked, trying to remain silent, and wondered what risks he would have taken in the other man's place. It was a tug deep in the flesh of his neck that brought his mind back to Manek. The alien had stopped. Its hot orange eye looked dull. The red, swollen eye had darkened like congealing blood. Its skin, neither ashen nor displaying the slick dancing patterns it had first had, was the matte texture of drawing paper and the color of charcoal.
"We must pause," Manek said. "We must regain our strength."
Ramon felt a stab of annoyance. There wasn't time for this. But it was also a sign that Manek was weak. The devil wasn't shrugging off the injuries from the other Ramon's trap. That, at least, was a good sign. Manek might still be armed, but it wasn't invulnerable. If the other Ramon could only find a way to break the alien's hold on him, then together they could destroy it. Ramon pursed his lips. There was a tightening in his chest that he didn't like. Not illness, but regret. The memory of the key crushed beneath the powerful Enya returned to him. As the hours passed, the memory of the dream he'd had the night before was fading, the sadness becoming not an emotion, but the memory of one. The conviction he had felt that any price would be justified if it turned aside the horror of Gesu also faded, but did not vanish. It was Manek's thought, not his, and he knew it. That didn't stop him from feeling the urgency of it, though. "All right, monster," Ramon said. "We rest, but only for a few minutes. We don't have much time." The alien considered Ramon, its quills stirring in a way that made Ramon think it was both amused and exhausted. Then, trudged to the wide, thick trunk of a fire oak, with leaves as wide as Ramon's two hands together, and bark that collapsed with a sound like packing foam when Manek leaned against it. Ramon hunkered down beside the game path, rubbing his chin and staring out into the forest. It was strange to have gone so long without a shave. Normally by now his whiskers would have been getting almost long enough to go from prickly to near soft. Instead, his neck and chin sprouted a kind of weak fuzz, like he was 12 years old again. He opened his robe and considered the scar where Martin Casaus had sliced him with the sheet metal hook. The pale line was wider now than it had been, but still not the ropey, puckered scar that it had been before the aliens got hold of him. The machete scar on his elbow was still hardly more than a lump under the skin. It was growing, though. He was becoming the man that he remembered being. And at least he could still grow whiskers. The pinche aliens hadn't turned him into a woman. "I'm still going to kill you fuckers for this," Ramon thought. But even though he had the intent and the focus, his rage seemed more distant, like something he had chosen to feel rather than something that actually possessed him. It felt like being in love with Elena. Familiar, but hollow. What are you going to do with me? Ramon asked. When this is over, when you kill the man, what happens to me?
Your tatacroida will be complete, Manek said.
So what happens to someone when their tatacroida is complete?
Your language is flawed. To have completed tatacroida is to return to the flow.
I don't know what that means, Ramon said.
Once our function is fulfilled, we will return to the flow, it said.
Suddenly, with a flash of insight intense enough that he wondered if it partook of the two-way flow through the Sahel, he knew what would happen to them both. They would die. They would be reabsorbed into the flow, whatever that was. Once they had fulfilled their tatacroida, they would have no reason for existing anymore. Like tools that were disposed of once the job they were needed for was done. Perhaps Manek was content to submit to that fate. Perhaps the alien even welcomed it. But as far as Ramon was concerned, that was another good reason to escape as soon as possible.
Whatever you say, he said wearily.
Ramon found that resting was more pleasant than he'd expected. He was more tired than he thought he'd be. But then he had marched all the previous day after nearly being killed in an explosion. He'd slept poorly, and perhaps Manek's distress was carried over in some alien fashion through the still, bruised-colored Sahel. The connection between Manek's people and the Enya haunted him, but he found it difficult to wrap his mind around it in any meaningful way. A war that crossed stars, that lasted through centuries, possibly millennia. A vendetta against Manek's kind, which had no discernible reason, which employed the human race as a tool. They had always been hunting dogs for demons. Mikhail Ibrahim, Martin Casaus, Ramon himself, everyone, always. Dogs sent into the bush to flush out Manek and beings like it. It was as deep a change of his view of the world as the curious fact of his twinning. But this time he didn't have the alien injunction not to diverge. He was free to think anything of this that he saw fit, and discovered that a small-time independent prospector fleeing from the governor's constabulary wasn't the right man to make sense of it all. It only made his head ache. Instead, he wondered what Elena was doing now. It had to be near noon, and how many days since he'd snuck out of her apartment before dawn? A week? More than that? He wasn't even certain of the day anymore. He wasn't religious. Sunday mostly meant that the bars were closed. So perhaps this was a weekday, and she'd risen with the sun, showered, pulled on her dress, and gone to work. He noticed with detachment that he had never fucked around on Elena. He'd killed men. He'd lied. He'd stolen. He'd beaten Elena and been attacked by her. But he hadn't frequented the whores down by the port when they were together. Even when they'd had a fight, he hadn't taken up with other women. Elena would have killed him and any woman he slept with, for one thing. And also, the prospect of finding a woman who would think Ramon worthy of her attention, much less of her body, filled him with either a sick dread that came from years of rejections, or the quiet aloofness that sprang from the anticipation of refusal. But besides all that, and to his surprise, Ramon found that it was simply not something that a real man did. Fuck women who were for hire, yes. Tempt your friend's woman away from him? Certainly. See more than one woman, yes, if you were the kind of lucky son of a bitch who could juggle girlfriends that way. But cheat on your woman once she'd become your woman. That, somehow, was crossing the line. Even when the woman was a crazed weasel in human skin like Elena. Even when you didn't love her, or even like her very much. It wasn't something a real man did. Ramon coughed out a laugh. Manek's turtle head rose and swung toward him, but apparently there wasn't enough mirth in Ramon's laugh to bring the wrath of the Sahel.
Turns out I've got morals, Ramon said. I wouldn't have thought so.
And this sound? It was an expression of surprise?
Yeah, Ramon said. Something like that.
And what is the reason for displaying the food in a tree branch? Would it not be better to consume it?
Ramon frowned his confusion, and Manek gestured toward the crotch of the tree under which they sat. There, wrapped in leaves that almost obscured the blood, was the skinned body of a flat fur. Ramon shifted the sahel over one shoulder and climbed up to look at the corpse. It was like the one he had found by the lake, hidden, but hidden poorly. He was a little disconcerted that he hadn't noticed it himself. Scavengers would find it by its scent, the way they had found the jabalí rojo that Manek had killed. Ramon's twin was doing something, but with a feeling of connection that was almost physical, he understood. He remembered Martín Casaus, back in the early days when they'd been friends, the drunken stories he'd told of trapping chupacabras, using fresh meat as bait to lure them into a pit. That cock-sucking son of a whore, Ramon said under his breath, and then dropped back down to the ground. That pendejo's fucking insane!
What do these words mean? Manek demanded. The display of the food is aubre?
No, it's got a function. That bastard is leading us into a chupacabra's range, and these things are meant to draw it toward us.
This chupacabra, it is dangerous?
Fuck yes. It'll kill him if it finds him.
This would undermine his function, Manek said. His actions lack meaning.
No, they don't. He knows we lived through the blast. He's seen us, and he knows we're close enough that he won't have time to build a raft. He's tired, he's hurt, and he knows we're going to catch him. So he's trying to put us in the same place as the chupacabra, and hope that it kills us before it kills him. It's a crazy risk to take, but it's better than giving up, Ramon said, and shook his head in admiration. That's one tough cabron we're up against. For a moment, Manek's shoulders rose in confusion, but then it seemed to understand what Ramon was saying and feeling. Perhaps the sahel had given the alien some insight into human perversity.
We will find the man before this happens, Manek said, rising to its full height.
We'd fucking better, Ramon said.